Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Let me get to the COVID payments, and some businesses are finding it difficult to fill the jobs as they attempt to resume trading. IBEC is calling for the COVID-19 unemployment payment, which is worth €350 a week, to be reviewed as a matter of urgency. Almost 4 in 10 people claiming the payment were earning less than €300 before the actual outbreak. So nearly half of the people claiming the COVID payment are actually earning more money now than they were before they were getting the COVID payment. Let me explain that to you very simply. That many people who are full-time workers in good jobs are not getting a COVID payment. They're getting the government subsidy, where the government are subsidising their employer to pay them up to 70% or up to 85% of the wages if they're on less than, I think it was, €24,000. So they're not getting the COVID payment because they're still employed. But those who were made unemployed at the very start of this, when businesses dropped a lot of people, particularly part-time workers. So Joey or Mary works at the weekend, you know, and earns 180 quid. They lost their jobs and they're now on a COVID payment and they're getting 350. Or they might have been earning 250 and now they're on 350. And it was a temporary payment. It was never going to be means tested, never going to be really checked. And it was going to come to an end at some point. And the end of that, of course, is the end of next month, right? Or the end of this month, should I say. No, it's June, the end of June. So today I want to talk about the COVID payment and the fact for that for some people are refusing basically to return to work. For some people, they're earning more, as I said, than they would have in work. For others, there is a genuine fear of returning to work during the pandemic, and they would prefer to be unemployed and at home instead of taking a risk of getting a virus in work, which is probably an irrational risk, but however. Today, I want to get your thoughts on the fact that people do not want to return to work while they're on the COVID payment. And Varadkar is saying that if people do not want to return to work when the job is open and ready for them, that they will no longer be eligible for that payment. And the government will give clarity on this next week. I want to know if you agree with it. Do you agree with Leo Varadkar saying that if there's a job for you there and your employer says, listen, Johnny or Mary, we need you back in work. Your position is there. We're opening up on Friday. Government guidelines, the phase, the plan. They said we can open up. You know, it's a hardware shop, a garden centre, or one of the small shops that's going to open in the next phase, which hopefully is brought forward a little bit. And we want you back in work. And you go, oh, no, you know, I don't know. I've an elderly mother at home, or, you know, I've kids. One of my kids is a bit vulnerable and, no, I feel safer staying at home. I want the COVID payment. Do you believe Leo Varadkar is right in basically saying that you have to go back to work or you're not getting your COVID payment? Maybe you're on the payment and fearful of returning to work. I want to know what you think. Or maybe you have been working right through this pandemic and think it is disgraceful that people won't return to work and they're getting money for sitting at home doing nothing. I want to get your thoughts on this today. Do you agree with the government saying that people must go back to work if their job is ready for them? Or is that unfair of the government to pressure people into going back to work? Because if you don't go back to work, you won't be getting any money. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. Jesus, Barry, you're some arsehole, aren't you? You text in every single day calling me a millionaire. I wish I was. Give us a couple of million, Barry, will you? Jerry, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Jerry?
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Jerry, I mean, is the government right to turn around and say to people, well, look, your job is open, go back to work. If you're afraid to go back to work, that's your problem. We're not paying you anymore.
Look, I couldn't agree more with a lot of the stuff you say there. And one would sit back here and ask, what are you guys smoking up there? To put it mildly. I mean, there is a particular echo chamber, I think, by now within the government halls and the advisors and the press, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And a lot
the
of
media. You know, Jerry, I would be the first person to say the media are, I'd say, 80% responsible for generating the fear around COVID-19.
There is a framing problem, you know, in the language that we see every day in the media and in the announcements from the government. So I'm looking at two media outlets here. Yeah. One says, Varadkar says people refusing to return to work would lose pandemic payments. And then I read another one here from RTE that says fast tracking of roadmap only if data says it's safe. So if you read those two headlines, one tells you you have to go back to work or you lose the payment, and the other says fast track of the roadmap only if data says it's safe.
So they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth, really, aren't they?
Exactly, exactly. So I think what's needed here is a great deal of honesty. And that that honesty goes back to the numbers. Look at the numbers. What does the data say? Drill down in those stats. What ICD codes were used in the mortality? What were the underlying conditions? Be honest about those. With those numbers, go back to the people and say, you over there in that age group from, you know, zero to 40 or to 50.
I know where you're going with this, Jerry, and I'm glad you mentioned it. I'll tell you why. Because I'm looking here on the April the 16th, the Dutch basically did the highest amount of antibody tests. Now, this is not, I know America are doing quite a lot of those at the moment. And we're supposed to be, Killian de Gascon mentioned yesterday that we are going to be doing random antibody tests, which is people who have already had it, may not have even had symptoms and didn't even know they had it. It's random. So they pick a random percentage of the population and they test them to see if they have it, right? To get an idea of how many people have had it and what the actual mortality rate of coronavirus or COVID-19 is.
Yeah.
And in the Dutch, in this particular research, which was presented to the Dutch House of Representatives, and this was only April the 16th, so it was only recently, all right. When I say recently, reasonably recently, all right, because obviously it takes a while to accumulate these figures. 20 to 29 age group, 0.003% mortality. Now, they would be the age group that wouldn't be really affected. Under that, actually, are not affected at all. Okay, and they say also that the majority of people between the age of 20 and 29 didn't even know they had it, right? So and now when you get up to the higher age bracket, so the highest they have here, because they don't go over the over 70s, because that's obviously quite high, 60 to 69, so up to the age of 70, 0.4% mortality. Now, that's one in every 200, okay, at the age of 70. That's still a very low mortality rate. So I don't understand why people have. I understand there's a fear of getting COVID-19, and gosh, you could be one of that one in 200 if you were if you were 70 years of age.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're not 70, it's one, like if you're 29, it's one in 2,000. So what and that's only if you get the virus in the first place.
Let's go back to children. I mean, children. We're talking about schools opening in September, when in practice this probably should have been open around now. Why? Because we've got the benefit of our own data. Can they tell us how many children have died from COVID here in Ireland and what their circumstances were? And then we've got the benefit of data from Europe that does confirm...
I don't think there has been a child.
Somebody
will correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't think any child has died in this country of COVID-19. By the way, I don't think any child in the world has died of COVID-19 with no pre-existing problems. Yeah. There was one case in Switzerland, which the world's media went bonkers about. The child was 4 years of age, and they said they had no underlying conditions. And it turned out they got the code wrong, the code where they put down the death certificate. And the person was actually 104, not four.
So. And this is the concern. You see, when you talk about framing in the media, I know in the UK early on, is it in March or early April, one of the papers seemed very excited with the news that a 21-year-old without underlying conditions died. And that was found not to be true, and the retraction was somewhere the next few days at the bottom of the page. And that's very problematic. So most of this news is driven out there for mass effect. And what is that effect? It's the fear effect. So we really need to get very realistic about the numbers. And
I think the newspapers and the media in general are getting away with a lot. And I try to explain this. And by the way, I am not for 1 minute suggesting that, you know, it's good to get COVID-19 or that people aren't dying of it. Of course, you know, thousands of people around the world are dying of it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I think the media are getting away with saying a lot of sensationalizing a lot of news that they would have never got away with before. And I gave you an example there recently. Last year, we talked about the HPV vaccine. And of course, I'm pro-vaccine and I recommend that every teenager should get HPV. But there was a group of people, obviously, who were going around telling us that, oh, if you took HPV vaccine, my daughter took it and she got POTS syndrome the following day. The government were very quick to come out to newspapers, the media and everybody else and saying, you cannot be having people on the air saying that without being challenged, because that's wrong. That's incorrect. These people are literally, they're called, the HSE referred to them as terrorists. In other words, because there was no evidence around that, it was a correlation, right? But then it seems okay now for us to correlate. And when I talk about correlation, for example, the best example of that more recently is this Kawasaki syndrome, that young children, it's a disease that's been around for 40 years.
And my goodness, for some reason I get this sense that somebody out there wants this to be true.
That's what I'm saying, there is no evidence, but yet the headline in the New York Post, you know, 12 children die of COVID-19 related illness, which is completely untrue.
And then when you read the article down below, it's not saying what the headline is saying.
No, it's saying doctors are saying there is no confirmation that the two are connected. Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to the discussion around the economy and reopening the economy, you know, economies work on volume and long tails. And without volume, you do not have a business at all, right? Most of these businesses have large fixed costs. You know, they have rent, mortgages, and variable costs. And even in the good times, because of, you know, such an efficient economy we have, most businesses, you know, would, you know, be on a sub 10% profit, which is still quite handsome, but that's all contingent on, you know, the footfall in the shops and in the bars. So if you ask these businesses to reopen, and yes, people, a portion of people will have their jobs back with perhaps less hours, who's going to make up for the shortfall?
Well, the government have clearly said yesterday they won't be making up for it.
Are you going to do it out of the price? Will a pint, if you get...
I know. Will the restaurant be charging an extra €20 for the meal because they can only get half the amount of people in the door? I get you. But okay, but getting back to the original question I asked you, so what do you say to people who say, I'm not going back to work because I'm afraid of getting the COVID?
So...
Is that an irrational fear?
It's my opinion that it's an irrational fear, but somebody is responsible for that fear.
Okay, well, do me a favour. Just stay there a second because I want to try and get to a few people as well. Joey, Carl, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Carl?
How you doing? I just feel if they're claiming the payment and their employer calls them to go back to work, your job is ready available. Their employers obviously have to make the premises as safe as possible with PPE and protections or whatever. You should have to go back to work. And if you're getting the payment, your payment should automatically stop. When you go back to work, your payment stops anyway. So if they refuse to go back to work, well, they should be just put on normal social welfare, just like anybody else. Simple.
So what happens?
The taxpayers don't have to pay for this in the end of it all. You know.
So what happens? Say, you know, Johnny with his wife and two kids. And maybe the elderly mother lives with him or something like that. And he says, well, I can't go back to work. Not until this is all over because I'm an elderly mother.
See, firstly, Niall, they're arguing, oh, I'm at the losing my job. And that was the worst thing in the world. But then all of a sudden, when people start to get more money than what they were earning in their job and the sun is shining, they're happy to drink cans and sit at home for the summer and get paid for it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's right.
See, it is human nature, right, Jerry? It is. I don't know whether
I don't want to end up paying for them in the end of it all, which the taxpayer will, you know?
By the way, I don't know whether you've seen the pictures yesterday on the beaches in Britain, particularly because it was 26 degrees in Bournemouth and other beaches. It was like you were looking at a scene from last year. And where this fear that we're talking about, where it actually is, because nobody was social distancing. Everybody was just on the beach, was absolutely jam-packed with people. Yeah. You know?
So we're beginning to see this everywhere. People, you know, people have their instincts, and they know. They know the inherent risk level that is there. Do you honestly
I disagree with that. Okay, I tell you, I think the Irish people know, because the Irish people watch the RTE news. Now, to be honest, and I know you're probably foreign yourself, but what I find, and we also had in my own job, we let a fella go the other day. We put him on 14 days quarantine because he came in with his haircut. So he was after going after some other foreigner that he found.
He was put on 14 days quarantine because he got his haircut.
yeah, you're not allowed to do these things. So he's at the going after some foreigner who was advertising on Facebook.
Yeah, I seen the ad. I seen the ad, by the way. Somebody sent us this today. Yeah.
No protection, no nothing. And then he came back into work and he's dabbing around the place and sure, that's not right. So...
Hang on. It's not the crime of the century. The person that cut his hair most likely didn't have COVID-19 anyway. So
that fella was breaking the law anyway. He shouldn't have been doing what he was doing.
He's not. Well, he's breaking guidelines. It's not. Actually, there's no law that says you can't get your hair cut. They're government guidelines.
Well, it's not a criminal.
It'll never, and I hope it'll never be a criminal offence to get your hair cut, right? But what I'm saying, that's a.
At the moment, it is against the law to drive 4 to 5 kilometres from your home.
Let's be clear about this, right? It's a government advisory, and the Garda Síochána are there to implement the advisory.
And then why did they arrest people?
They arrest people under the Public Order Act by not obeying the orders of a member of an Garda Síochána. Right, yeah. So the way it works is it's quite complicated because it goes back to our constitution, right? We do have a constitutional right to move about freely, right? Now, if you, for example, go past the 5 kilometres in your car on an unnecessary journey, you are breaking a government guideline and advisory, which is brought in for the moment under emergency legislation. So the Garda Síochána, they don't arrest you. What they do is they say to you, listen, you're making an unnecessary journey. Can you go back home? They'll tell you to go back home. And if you refuse to do that, then you're not cooperating with the guards, so you'll be arrested under the Public Order Act. So that's the way that works at the moment, all right? Because it's emergency legislation. So in relation to the lad getting his hair cut, I'm sorry, but I don't agree that he should have to be kicked out of his job for 14 days because he went and got his hair cut.
He's putting people at risk, just like anybody if they're travelling.
I understand he shouldn't do it.
Somebody comes in from another country and they travel through an airport and then they attend work, which they did, which happened at the start when all this started. They were told 14 days before you can come back to work. So it's the exact same thing if you're supposed to quarantine in your home and then you go off and get your hair.
But the guy that cuts his hair, I assume, lives here in this country.
He lives here. Yeah, he lives here. He's a foreigner. But how come, Noel, I rent rooms to people around the place and they're foreigners. And this is what I'm listening to all the time.
But you came on very reasonable at the start, but you're kind of going down a bit of a rabbit hole here. Let's say, for example, one of your workers and said, "Jeez, I went for a bit of a walk there yesterday, but I actually walked 6 kilometres instead of 5. Are you going to tell him to stay at home for 14 days too? He's breaking the rules as well.
I don't make the rules, Noel.
I'm just saying it's not the crime of the century that he got his hair cut. You're at the start of the whole row now, Carl. I can't believe this. This is not what the topic was about today. But you started a whole row with people saying, is Carl being ridiculous? The chap got his hair cut. He didn't kill somebody.
So, you know, I think if you have a population that is largely innocent and law-abiding, you have a greater responsibility to make sure that the advice that you're dispersing out there is responsible. And, you know, the Irish people have done very well, you know, since March, you know, to make sure all the guidelines are followed.
Within reasons. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some people have broken guidelines. A lot of people have, but nothing too serious. You know what I mean? Generally speaking, we've been reasonably well behaved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if tomorrow the government says you can go 10Ks, going back to the joke you made there about breaching the 5, you quarantine somebody who's breached 6K. These are quite arbitrary. I mean, you have countries that have 1 meter distancing rules.
We have two.
We have two. All of this is arbitrary. You've got countries that where you go to jail if you're not wearing a mask. In the Middle East, you go to jail for 3 years.
For not wearing a mask?
Yeah.
I don't live there.
Is it Qatar or one of those countries?
Well, there are countries in Europe that do have fines. I'm not too sure which. Is it Austria? I can't remember. One of the countries in Europe, they have serious fines if you don't wear your mask. But hang on, Jerry. Just let me get back. I need to get back to Carl there. Are you still there, Carl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl, so did the lad, did he admit that he got his hair cut or did somebody catch him out?
No, he admitted it.
What, he just came in and said, I got my hair cut off some lad on Facebook.
He was talking to one of the managers and just
happened to mention it.
Yeah.
And the manager said, right, off you go. Go home for 14 days.
Yeah, well, he's young lad. There's a lot of elderly people in the place. So you can't take that risk of all your stuff.
But how far do you take that down the rabbit hole going forward?
I don't know. How far
when does that all stop? Yeah, but when does that all stop?
When does everything stuff for the like, children and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, no,
how the hell do we protect them?
I understand rational fear, but I also understand irrational fear. Now, if it was a case that it was somebody who came into the country that day to cut his hair, I could kind of understand some sort of level of fear. But if it's someone who's living here, who's obviously abiding by the rules to some extent, but going around doing nixers, which he shouldn't be doing.
Well, then why is people in the supermarkets have PPE? Because they're dealing with people on a regular basis.
They don't have PPE. Hold on. People in supermarkets don't have PPE.
They have protection barriers around them, Niall.
Yeah, but hang on. I haven't been to a supermarket where somebody's all dressed up in PPE. The girls in my supermarket don't even have masks on.
Now, this lad has absolutely nothing. And, I actually asked. And they thought, he just had a chair there in the house. So how many people has come to him? Yeah.
Well, let me just throw it out there and see. Do you think you know your boss is being reasonable? Let me just throw it out there. I mean, people listening today, do you believe that? Yes, he did break the guidelines. There's no doubt about that. But I can tell you now, there's loads of women in this country who have got their hair done by hairdressers. I actually just said it this morning. Who would have thought in 2020 hairdressing would be on the black market? But anyway.
Yeah. Well, Noel, as you said last week, it's a bit extreme from employers. It is or it isn't. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But then again, last week we had this conversation on your show. Who's going to protect the employers? Is it going to be the employer's insurance? Is it going to be the state if someone else gets COVID-19 in the workplace?
Well, I think we have to set a reasonable guideline in relation to that. That's up to our government and Minister for Justice to do that. Because here's the thing, Carl. Going back to if we go back in time a year, okay, many of us got the flu. A half million people die every year of it. It is dangerous. I'm not saying it's as dangerous as COVID-19, but it is dangerous. Should I be able to sue my employer if I get the flu in work? And I'm out of work for a week and I'm at death's door. Should I be able to sue them?
As you said, we had this conversation last week, Niall.
I'm just curious. Do you think I should be able to sue my employer?
You know? No. So if an employer physically knows that some of his staff have not been obeying the guidelines and have put other members of staff at risk, and then those members of staff happen to get the virus, you're in the shit then.
Okay, well, let me go to Patrick. Patrick, you're on Classic Hits. Let me get back to the COVID payment. Oh, God. Sorry, I didn't switch it on there, Patrick. Hold on. Patrick, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Patrick?
Good, thanks. Yeah.
We're going down another rabbit hole there. We could go down a million of those today in a day.
Well, the COVID payment was the original question.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, you see, Niall, what happens is you have people who built this country up who are maybe 66, 67, and without them, Ireland wouldn't be the country it is today. And they employed staff and they had everyone working for them and they were hiring lots of people, and suddenly they're down to, is it the pension or whatever, they're not allowed to get 350.
Yeah, because they're over 65, yeah.
Out of school or working part-time can throw away their 200 quid a week or whatever they're getting and get 350, which is totally unfair.
Well, it is. No, we spoke to Michal about that the other day, because Michal is 70, whatever he is, and he can't get the COVID payment, and he's working full time, paying his taxes and everything. But in relation to those who don't want to go back to work, who have a fear of going back to work, do you think the COVID payment should be cut off for them?
Oh, God, yeah, it should be, because like
your job is there, go back to work. That's it.
Well, put it to this way, Niall. If fear got people into this in the first place, the fear of no money would get them back to work.
Right. And what happens if you're sent home for getting your hair cut? Should you get the COVID payment then?
Well, Niall, I don't think you should be getting your hair cut full stop. And on a side issue, if you saw RT News one night, some of the presenters had their hair cut. So whether they have an in-house hairdresser working all the time, I don't know.
I find that actually quite weird, that when you look at presenters on TV or politicians, they all have their hair cuts. I mean, and they look like they have professional haircuts. Now, I don't know where, maybe their wives or their husbands or whatever it is are cutting their hairs. I don't know. I don't know who's cutting their hair, but somebody's cutting it.
Yeah, because my hair is starting to look like someone else. Is it? He's in the hippie movement or something like that.
You're looking a bit like Wurzel Gummidge, are you?
Yeah, so I'm wondering how they're all looking so well, like, you know.
Your man looks great. What's your man's name? Oh, I have to forget. He was selling in for Tony Holohan yesterday. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he looks great. He's got a wonderful haircut. Let me just go to Donal. Donal, you're on Classic Hills. How you doing, Donal?
How you doing, Niall? Well,
Grant, Donal, do you think the COVID payment should be cut for people who don't want to go back to work because they have a fear?
Of course it is, Niall. I called Helena there. My son, he's an apprentice electrician. He was getting €250 a week. Now he's getting 350 for sitting on his ass. It's absolutely ridiculous. Why, and are you telling me the revenue couldn't know what people were getting every week? Why did you have to pay them more than they were getting?
Because it would be the, I understand the logic behind it. It was brought in very quickly in the space of 4 or 5 days. It was something they had to do very fast, that they couldn't administrate it or means test it. They just couldn't. It wouldn't have been possible. People would have been left for weeks without any money. So they had to just do it very quickly.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.